Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. In his book, The Mustard Seed Conspiracy, author Tom Shine shares the story of his parents' friends and their love for gathering wild mushrooms. One weekend, this couple came home with several baskets of mushrooms. Realizing the impossibility of being able to consume all the mushrooms by themselves, they decided to invite others over to their house for a mushroom-eating party. The turnout was terrific, and they had a wonderful time eating mushroom crepes, mushroom omelets, mushroom souffles, fried mushrooms. They ate until they could not eat another bite, and then they scraped the leftover mushrooms into their cat's dish. Around midnight, as the guests were getting ready to leave, someone went into the kitchen and noticed the cat sprawled out on the floor. It was having convulsions. Next to the cat was the overturned dish of mushrooms. The guest screamed, "The cat!" Everyone ran into the kitchen to see what was causing all the commotion, and after seeing the cat, decided to call a doctor, fearing that they might meet the same doom. The doctor informed them that to be safe, they should not take any chances at all and immediately drive to the nearest hospital to get their stomachs pumped. Hours later, in the early morning, they finally dragged back to the host's house to get their belongings. They were exhausted. As they sarcastically thanked their hosts for the evening, they began to make their way to the front door when someone asked, "Well, what happened to the cat?" The group then headed to the kitchen. They quietly opened the door and found the cat asleep on the floor with 8 kittens. At times, it is difficult to distinguish between dying and giving birth. You would think it would be easy to tell the difference. Apparently, not so much. However, experience shows that the distance between death and birth is really not very far. The unavoidable truth is that death may precede birth. Experiencing something new, even when it is positive, can be as painful as dying. Just listen to the newborn scream as they make their miraculous move from the familiar womb into a foreign world. Or ask a teenager how painful it is to move away and be separated from old friends. "I moved 4 times growing up. I have 3 older sisters. They were all screaming bloody murder every time we moved." Or ask a recent graduate how difficult it is to leave college and enter a new world of responsibility. "My son AJ graduated in May, took the summer to get settled, and then began working in a professional job. None of that was easy." Ask a couple about how challenging it is to leave a self-centered life in order to raise a child. "My daughter Meredith and her 11-month-old daughter Callie, challenging every day." The truth is that all of us must die in order to give birth to something new. A bad habit must die to provide room for a good one. Certain ways of thinking must change in order to get a new desired action. A place of comfort must be left in order to move to a healthier one. All such radical changes must occur in order for something new to be born. Given the truth of death before birth, we should not then be surprised by Isaiah's description of doom in the middle of chapter 43 in our scripture this morning. Isaiah describes a birthing process that begins with remarkable death and destruction. The sea is split in two. Armies, warriors, and even the horses and the chariots they came in on are all disintegrated, and we are commanded to erase from our minds any memories of the past, killing any thoughts of our glory days. It appears in this scripture that God is finally fed up with the world and is initiating some sort of holocaust to wipe out everything. But all of this death and destruction is a prelude to God's creation of something new. It would seem that the destruction would defeat the virtue of creation, Perhaps we ask, is this the only way for God to create something new? And Isaiah rises up from this text and shouts, yes. For Isaiah vividly explains for us that what God is up against demands a permanent eradication. It was literally the sea, warriors, armies, chariots and horses, which had kept the people of God in bondage. But today, these oppressive images represent all the things in our lives, in our world, which keep us in bondage. The sea of indifference drowns much of the compassion in this world. The warriors of sin come and seize and destroy that which brings us life. The chariots of evil trample over God-inspired dreams. Armies of hate march right into our hearts and claim ownership in the deepest part of us. Memories at times are like an impenetrable wall towering between who we are and who God has called us to be. Therefore, when God creates change, it is more like surgery than a Band-Aid. Tumors must be extracted before healing can take place. If left alone, they will grow unchecked to life-threatening proportions. The fatal nature of our bondage demands nothing less than divine surgery to make us whole again. However, my friends, God's revolution is not what most of us expect. God's revolution does not involve weapons, a consuming fire, or even a rod of lightning. It does not involve divine wrath, obliterating the wicked and lifting up the righteous. In fact, God's action against our chains of bondage involves no outward force whatsoever. God's force is symbolized with three things: a tree, some nails, and sacrifice. God used them to conquer sin, bondage, and death, because used together, they epitomized sacrificial love. The incredible irony is that instead of allowing us to die in our sin, God in Christ lovingly decided to die on a tree with our sin. As the fatal bullet of sin raced towards us, God put skin on, and in sacrificial love, jumped in front of us and took that bullet for us. It's difficult to swallow such bitter-tasting truth. We live in a world that likes its cake and to eat it too. We don't like to give up what we don't want to in order to have what we need. But bondage cannot coexist with freedom, especially the freedom which God desires to initiate in our lives. The gifted writer Urban T. Holmes III makes this clear to us. He writes, "Any good gardener knows that beautiful roses require careful pruning. Pieces of living plant have to die. It cannot just grow wild. Likewise, pieces of us need to die if we're to become the person that is in God's vision. If this is really what it takes to experience something new, most of us would rather settle for the way things are. We may be aware of our sinful habits, an unhealthy lifestyle, but we're comfortable and we don't want to give anything up. Therefore, we plant our feet against the threshold of death and go kicking and screaming into change, even when it's for our own good. There is a wonderful place for us to begin, at the foot of the cross. Jesus says, you can begin again, for I have died for all your shameful stuff. All you have to do is relinquish those seething and suffocating sins, and I will nail them to me on the cross and make sure they never have dominion over you again. Come and die to your old self and experience a new beginning. Come and die to sin and move from darkness to light. Come and die and receive the new life which only I, Jesus, can give you." A beggar sat every day on a street corner across from an art studio. For days, an artist had seen him and decided to paint his portrait. When the artist completed the portrait, he invited the beggar into the studio. The artist said, "I've got something I want you to see." Inside the studio, the artist unveiled the portrait. At first, the beggar did not recognize himself. He kept saying, "Who is it?" The artist just smiled and said nothing. Then suddenly the man saw himself in the portrait, not as he was in his decayed, dejected state, but as he could be. Then the beggar asked, "Is that me? Is that really me?" The artist replied, "That's who I see in you." Then the beggar said, "If that's who you see in me, then that's who I'll be." Have you ever wondered who God sees in you? God wants to do something new with you, a life free from bondage. God's refreshing spirit quenching every dry, deserted corner of your soul. A beautiful death, birthing a life of love, joy, peace, and hope. Come and die this invigorating death. Your life is waiting. Amen.